Welcome to today's episode, where you'll hear another birth story. This time it's from a second-time mother who talks so beautifully about getting ready for labor using hypnobirthing and learning to trust herself through understanding what it is that she actually wants. Anna shared how relaxed she got in labor using hypnobirthing to the point that her husband thought that her labor had stopped. Listen in to hear Anna's experience of being 10 centimeters dilated and yet not ready to push, and how this was something totally new for her. These birth stories remind me just how strong of a rite of passage they are, and how they teach us so much about the next stage of our life, our motherhood. Times of transition and rites of passage can be new, unfamiliar, and sometimes scary for us. And this is why I've put together a webinar all about giving you tools and techniques to support you to thrive through this rite of passage and transitional moment in your life. This webinar will help you see your transition as a growth opportunity and will keep you grounded when you feel like the carpet has been pulled from under your feet. It's really perfect for anyone who is preparing to give birth or is just a few weeks or months after. You can join me live for the webinar on March 30th, 2023, or you can sign up and receive the recording so you can watch it as a companion when you're resting up in bed in your final weeks of pregnancy or with your baby. I will leave the link in the show notes for you to find. And now, let's get into Anna's birth story. Welcome to the Birthing in Finland podcast, brought to you by the Nest Doulas. I'm Danielle Bensky, a mother and postpartum doula specializing in maternal well-being and psychology. Each episode, you'll hear eye-opening interviews with some amazing people who support families in Finland just like yours. We'll help you navigate what it means to birth in Finland, growing your confidence on your parenting journey. Thank you for spending time with me today. Now let's jump into our daily dose of birthing in Finland. Hi, and welcome to this episode of the Birthing in Finland podcast. Today we're going to do another birth story episode with my dear Anna, who I've had the pleasure of getting to know at my mother's groups that I host at Lila Lukkan. And hi, Anna, first of all. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Yes, yes. Thank you so much for agreeing to share with us your stories, maybe, about the birth of your first child and then your second child. We'll see how far we get. But there's so much wisdom I hear just from the intro that we did in getting ready for this. I hear you have so much to say. So I'm really excited to hear it.
Yeah, I'm excited to share it as well.
Mm-hmm. Let's get us started, as we have been doing now for the last couple of episodes, just with talking on the preparation for the labor, for the birth experience. So maybe it started when you got pregnant, or maybe it even started before. You said you wanted to focus on the birth of your first child in that regard. So how do you feel like you prepared for that one? And maybe just give us some context, like how long ago was that, and also maybe tell us a little bit, like, are you from Finland, or where do you come from? Do you speak Yes. Finnish? Because I think that makes a difference as well in the experiences.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, so a little bit about myself. I'm originally from Honduras, and I came to Finland around 15 years ago to study a master's degree, and then I ended up just getting a job and basically making my life here. So I have lived most of my adult life in Finland. And well, I think that also changes a little bit the experience, because I'm someone who has lived here a long time. So I also speak Finnish at a pretty decent level. So I don't have that fear of being in a new country and being pregnant and not knowing how the system works. So, and I also had a lot of friends who had already had babies here, and I had heard their experiences, and I had heard such wonderful and positive stories. So I had already like a good impression, and not so much fear surrounding the services and the hospitals here. So yeah. I think that was already a good start. And then how I prepared for labor.
But maybe before that, when was this birth? The first, your first child? She was born.
Yeah, so the birth of my first child was the 30th of November, 2019. So it was before COVID. And I was pregnant throughout 2019. So most of the year. Preparing for the first labor. Initially, I was kind of like just enjoying being pregnant and not thinking too much about details and, you know, kind of putting it off. But at some point around week 30, I'm like, okay, I have to cram now for the test, right? As usual. So
I was just going to ask, are you that kind of person?
I think so. Well, I don't know. I think it depends. I think still like week 30 is actually a really good time because you're already in that mindset. So I think I didn't leave it like till the end. I didn't leave it till week 40 or week 30. So I think it was still a good amount of time.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think I work under pressure. So I felt like, okay, it's coming close. I don't know anything. I don't know what I'm going to do, what's going to happen. So I started, I had been following some people on Instagram who had talked about hypnobirthing. So what I did first is I listened to this audiobook called The Hypnobirthing Book by Katherine Graves. And it really changed the way I thought about birth. Because my impression of birth, I think as a lot of people have from media and movies and all kinds of other sources, is that you are going to suffer so much and you're going to have to take an epidural because it's just uncontrollable pain and that's kind of like the only solution. That's kind of the impression I had. And also that it's not an enjoyable experience. Those are the impressions I had in my mind. So when I listened to the hypnobirthing book, I realized like, a lot of it is under like what mindset you have and how you go into the birth. It's not only, of course, there are things that are not under your control. Obviously, you can't control everything. But what you can control is how you look at things and how you come into something and trying to, you know, trying to be positive and trying to think of have this outlook like every step, everything I do brings me closer to my baby and just visualizing peaceful things. Like I would have never come up with that on my own. So I think it was just super, super interesting. It really changed my life and it was really interesting how they explain like all the things that happen during a labor so naturally, like, well, I can't explain everything. I think if you're interested, you should really read one of these books or listen to it. But basically it talks about how at first your body is dilating and in that moment you need to do a certain kind of breathing to help your body dilate, just being very peaceful and visualizing yourself opening and visualizing things that open and just working with your mind to help your body open, which is really amazing in my opinion. And then when you're in the other phase of labor where you are pushing, then you visualize different things and you do a different type of breathing and you just work with your body. So I thought that was really interesting and that really, really helped me to prepare myself and to think of labor as a different experience than what I initially thought.
Yes. You kind of unlearned maybe the things that you had been taught to think about birth and the image you had about it and you had to...
Yeah, and actually it's like unlearning and relearning and relearning again because if I think about it, my mom always... I mean, in the times when my mom had her kids, she didn't use an epidural. So it was kind of like, that's what we initially knew, right? That was the initial knowledge we had. And then that changed. And then we have to relearn it. So, So that was super, super interesting, that journey for myself.
Also learning about the history of how did birth end up in hospital and what got us there and what happened before that. And I mean, there was also a time in the, I think it's the 60s or something along those lines, where women were really, really drugged and tied to the bed because they were so drugged that they would fall off the bed. So, I mean, there was also that period of time in our history in hospitals.
You read also about how we ended up lying in bed, opening our legs. Mm-hmm. So it's really just like, it's so strange. And you start to realize that a lot of the practices in hospitals are not in favor of women in labor. Mm-hmm. And I started to also think, okay, I need to trust myself, you know, through hypnobirthing and through the brain's technique, which they talk about a lot. It's about that you don't know everything, but you need to consider the situation and try to make the best decision with the information that you know. And I think if you don't read these things or you don't listen to these things, you just go panic mode, right? That's the reaction that you have. But when you listen to these strategies, then you realize, okay, I don't have to go panic mode. I can actually consider, okay, these are the options and this is what I can do. So,
you know, this reminds me, yesterday I attended a prenatal yoga with Nicola at Purna Yoga, and she said something so beautiful at the beginning of the class, which really resonated with me also for birth preparation. She said, set your intention for the class. Why did you come here today? And what do you want to get out of this class? And then she said, you are more likely to get what you want if you know what you want.
Exactly.
This is so true.
Yeah.
For everything.
It's so true. Yeah. Like, this is one of the things that I learned. You were going to ask me one of the things that I learned through labor. I don't know if you want me to tell you now, but
you can. One of the questions I was going to ask you is, as a birth being a rite of passage, and by being a rite of passage, it teaches us something about the next phase of life that comes after. So my question to you at the end, you can tell it now, but the question was going to be, what did you learn from your birth experiences for your motherhood journey?
I think this whole experience has taught me that you just need to know where you're headed. Like, you need to have to kind of know what you would want. And then all you need to do is do whatever is in your power to achieve that. And that doesn't apply only to labor, birth, parenting. It applies to everything in your life. So, so really, like, this experience has left me super empowered, because all you need to do is think about what you would like. And that's achievable if you work towards that. And there will always be things that are out of your control, which you can't control. But you can always try to, even if you don't achieve exactly the thing that you initially wanted, the journey is going to take you somewhere. And it's going to be great, whichever way it goes. So, yeah, I think that's what I have taken out of this.
That's beautiful. Yeah. And, you know, you made me think of something else in preparation now for my upcoming labor, which should be in June. Now we are recording it in March. I'm working with Rosalia as my birth doula, and we are talking about intentions. And we are not focusing so much as what intentions do I want to have as like a precise birth plan of the things I want to happen, that I would like to happen, but an intention in the sense of also, how do I want to feel, so that in this case that I know that everything is not in my control, or most of it is not in my control, but no matter what happens, how do I want to feel through it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
to make that my intention.
That's true.
And what are the cornerstones of the experience, so that no matter sort of what is happening, what do I want to feel through it?
Yeah. And also, especially, I feel like with your second labor, you kind of have these expectations that, mm-hmm. oh, this is probably going to go this way, or it has to be better, or you don't want to think it's going to be worse, but you, mm-hmm. you have some kind of idea of how you think it's going to go. So I think mm-hmm. it's good to think it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how it goes, you know, because in the end, as you said, you want this experience to have this kind of like whole, somehow like the same emotion, or I don't know mm-hmm. how you put yeah. it, but yeah.
The feeling, yeah. Yeah. Nice.
But yeah, so I prepared with hypnobirthing, and then I went, I was following this positive birth company Instagram account, and they would post all kinds of stories, and I would read at least one or two stories, birth stories every day. And they were like, it was very interesting because they were not always perfect, rosy colored. Like sometimes there were so many complications, and there was always this fine lining of positiveness, as you said, like this, you know, this surrounding feeling of like taking it in a way that is like everything was positive, even mm-hmm. if things didn't go perfectly as planned. So that was beautiful to me, like reading these stories and just filling myself with this wonderful energy that mm-hmm. that birth stories have. I kind of became like a fan or
a junkie.
A junkie of reading them, because yes. they gave me such a nice feeling at the end, and they would even like bring out these emotions, mm-hmm. like beautiful emotions. So I
oxytocin.
Exactly. I read these a lot before, and I preferred reading them than seeing videos, because videos, I feel like, okay, you see the baby come out, but you don't know what the mom is thinking or right. feeling.
You get her perspective.
You don't get her
reflection.
Yeah, her reflection and her feelings, and like how she interpreted the whole, or what she was thinking. So
I
like the birth videos, because it's so beautiful to see a baby come out, but I feel like you don't know what the person is thinking in that moment. And as I realized during my labor, your head is like, you're thinking so many things, but you can't say anything because you're like in the middle of like birthing a human. So your brain is like going miles in mm-hmm. seconds, and you can't express what you're thinking. So
It sounds to me like actually the stories have two different purposes, because one of the reasons that we really recommend to watch the birth videos is to unlearn a lot of the things that we have watched on Hollywood, for example.
That's
to see,
true.
You know, what can a physiological birth, beautiful, positive, ecstatic birth, enjoyable labor look like? What are the sounds that the woman is making, to see that it doesn't happen like in 5 minutes and the baby's
That's
out?
True.
It's not an emergency always. The woman doesn't have to be on her back. So that has one purpose.
That's true.
And then the stories, as you just explained so beautifully for you, gave you this other perspective. So actually together coupled, that makes a really nice addition to your preparation.
That's true, yeah. And I also watched many videos on YouTube from a doula called Bridget Taylor. She has these like small tips for different things. I watched many, many of those videos. They kind of made everything feel very positive for me.
Yes.
So that also helped me.
Nice.
But yeah, and I also listened to hypnobirthing relaxation recordings at the end. So I would just like turn off the lights and breathe and visualize things. And I tried to think, okay, this is what I'm going to try to do during my labor, and try to visualize myself doing that and things like that.
You know, you were preparing and you were practicing. And in the end of the day, if we compare birth to a marathon, you would never just show up to a marathon without having trained.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's true. Why is this different?
But a lot of people, that's surprising, because a lot of people just show up to the labor and, Yeah, they just show up.
And that brings us to what I said about the intentions. When you're more likely to get what you want when you know what you want.
Yeah, that's true.
If we're just showing up without knowing what we want, without doing that preparation, I mean, yeah, it could be beautiful, but you are leaving a lot up to chance.
Yeah, that's true. Then other things that I did, I researched a lot. One of my fears was tearing. So in hypnobirthing, they talk about like thinking about your fears and trying to learn more about them and see a way to kind of be more informed of what you can do, what's out of your control. So I researched a lot on avoiding tearing, and I researched about vertical positions when pushing, and breathing through pushing and not pushing when you're not having a surge. So waiting for that, you know, that uncontrollable feeling of pushing, mm-hmm. and not following someone's instructions for pushing when you don't have the urge to push. So yeah, I researched a lot on that, and I was also taking evening primrose oil pills and raspberry leaf tea and doing perineal massages and watching videos on breathing and like all these things. Because I thought, well, I mean, it's not, I can't not tear if I don't train for it, you know? I have to train for trying to not tear. And of course, it's not in my control, but if I can try to prepare for it, I will.
So there are things that are, you know, that influence. It doesn't make it 100% guarantee, but it helps to increase the chance of that scenario.
Yeah.
So nothing is like random, you know? So
that's true. I was researching all the things that you could do to prevent it, and yeah. I was trying to practice each one. Yes. So yeah, it was one of the things I did to feel more in control or prepared mm-hmm. for the birth mm-hmm. because I thought, okay, in the moment, at least I came prepared, you know?
Yeah.
I did my homework. So yeah, that was one thing. And I think that helped to ease my, you know, anxiety or fear.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, knowledge, another thing we say a lot with the Nest Doulas and at our Positive Birth Helsinki meetups is that if you don't know your choices, you don't have any.
Yeah, exactly.
So being informed is really important.
Yeah, and you're not going to know everything. You're not going to know everything. But if you do, I mean, if you at least like research the things that are most, like the things that you fear the most, I think those are the best ones to focus on. To start with those.
Go straight to the hard stuff.
Yeah, don't skip that part. It's the hardest part. So yeah, I think that was a good focus for me.
Yeah. Yeah, good. Anything else in preparation? Now I'm curious about the birth story.
Yeah, I also did a lot of like homework for Vesa, my husband. So I was Googling like what can the partner do, what can the partner watch, how can the partner prepare, what can he do to help, because I know he's not a doula, he's not a midwife, he's not an expert, he's just a person who's going to be there. So what can I get him to do and to prepare? So I told him about brains and hypnobirthing and the relaxation recordings and giving me water, giving me food, being there, telling me I'm a superhuman, like all these things. So he had a list of things that he had to watch and read and be informed about, and he had to watch some videos and all these things.
You coached him into being your coach.
Yeah. I mean, I knew he wasn't going to be like a doula, but yeah. I thought, okay.
That's a good realization, because yeah. They cannot be a doula.
No.
And sometimes there are those expectations put on our partners. And
Yeah, it's true.
High. I mean, they are a bit too high.
They are. And they are in a position where everything is new. They've never done it before. They don't know how to help you. They don't know what they can do. So I was thinking, okay, well, if I give him a list of things and I, you know, prepare him on the stages of labor and how I'm going to be possibly reacting or some noises that I'll be doing, maybe he'll have a better idea of like what he can do. But yeah, I mean, it's really hard, of course, but
you didn't have a doula in this birth.
No, I didn't. No. And I think it did help preparing him, but of course, like, he still didn't really know what to do, but he did do the things that I asked him to do, so that was good. Yeah.
Good. Anything else on the preparation? I think we can maybe move to the story itself.
Yeah. Let's do
if
that.
You are ready.
Yeah. So my daughter was born on the 30th of November, which was on Saturday, and Friday evening everything was normal. I went to sleep around 10 p.m. and around 1 a.m. I woke up with a super strong urge to pee, as never before. Never ever had I ever had such a strong urge to pee. So I went to the bathroom, I peed, then I went back to my bed and I felt this sudden urge to poop. So I went back to the bathroom and it turned out I had like diarrhea, and I would go back to bed and I would go back to the bathroom. Like, it was like my body was emptying itself completely from pee, poo, anything inside. It was like
in preparation.
Yeah. So I was just going back and forth, right? And then at some point, because I would always, during my pregnancy, I would always keep the lights off because I didn't want to wake up too strongly. So at some point, I'm like, okay, I'm not getting any sleep. I'll just turn on the light. And I noticed that there was some blood in my underwear. So I realized, okay, maybe something's happening. Maybe my mucus plug. I don't know. Okay. So I went back to bed. And then I would continue feeling like these like pains, like if I had diarrhea, but there was nothing inside of me anymore. So I was like, what do you want from me? Like, I don't have anything else. So I'm like, okay, these are coming and going. So maybe these are surges. Like, I didn't realize that they could be, but
did it remind you of menstrual cramps at this point?
No, at this point, no. First, they still felt like diarrhea pain.
Yeah. So you felt it like in the front, like in the stomach area. Yeah.
Yeah, it was like a mix of. Okay. Like, because it started with diarrhea. So it felt like, then it started to move towards like more menstrual.
Yeah.
And they were coming and going. So first I thought it's still diarrhea pain, but then I realized no, this is actual surges. So around 3 a.m. I noticed, okay, these are surges. And I just thought, okay, I'll just stay here and like manage the surges. But eventually around 4 a.m. I'm like, no, I'm not managing anything here. So I went to wake up Besa and I told him, I think I'm in labor. I'm having really strong surges and they keep on going and it's not going away. So he called the hospital and they told him to just that we could try to manage at home as long as possible. And then when it was just unmanageable, that we could go to the hospital and that we could just try the shower and different coping methods. So I decided to go into the shower and I was there, but it was super uncomfortable because it was very hard to kneel on the floor. The tile was not so comfortable and I just felt really bad. And so I told Vesa, I'd rather like go to the bed and rest when I don't have a surge. And then when I have a surge, I can stand up and try to do something to alleviate the pain. So I did that for some time and tried to manage. But at some point, I remember I was kind of like, it was very hard to do the hypnobirthing. Like in theory, we talked about this theory. Oh yeah, visualizing and breathing and being Zen, but in reality, it was super hard to actually breathe and do the visualizations. I was kind of hyperventilating. So Vesa was like, okay, I think we should go to the hospital. I don't think we're managing here. So I'm like, okay, let's do whatever. I'm out of it. Just do whatever you want. So he called again and he said, yeah, we're coming and we want a bath. Like we want to do a birth in the bath. So he asked if they had availability, and they said that in Espoo they did. So we started to get ready to go, and it took me a while because it was so difficult to do anything, but I managed to get dressed. And so we left around 7 a.m. and the ride in the car was really difficult. I think most people have the same experience, but it was very difficult. It's yes, hard to it sit. Is. There's yeah. no position that helps you. There's nothing you can do. It's just so uncomfortable. So it's almost like torture to be in the car. And I tried to go in the back seat, but there was no space because of the car seat. So I ended up in the front seat trying to like lean back. I was kind of like kneeling and my head was to the back. It was like a half hour ride, so it was horrible. But I felt like my surges kind of slowed down a little bit there. And then when we got to the hospital, I still had the surges and they were very intense, but they weren't as strong as when we were home.
Yeah.
And then
when we are leaving our safe space and going into something that isn't so comfortable, our body slows down the labor because we understand that this is not a good time for labor to progress.
Yeah. And I felt that was happening. It was still uncomfortable and horrible, but it was slowing down. It wasn't as intense.
Yeah.
So we got there and we checked in and they gave me those bracelets. They give you a bracelet already. And then a midwife showed up and she introduced herself. Her name was Mina. And she said, let's go into the room and see what's the situation. So we went to the room and I had a birth plan. My birth plan was everything natural, like the most natural thing. And no medication, and birth in the bath, and going with my body and breathing out the baby, all these mm-hmm. things that I learned mm-hmm. through hypnobirthing.
Yes.
So when we got there, she was like, okay, I'm going to check. I can check you if you want to see what the situation is. So I can do an examination and see where we're at. So I was like, that's fine, because I really wanted to know what was the situation in that moment. So she checked me and I thought to myself, I think I'm so far along because this is like really intense. But when she checked, she said I was only 1 to 2 centimeters dilated. And when she said that, I was like, oh my God, this is going to take forever, because if I'm already in this level of pain and intensity, and I'm only 1 to 2 centimeters dilated, who knows how long I'll be here. So I started to get a little bit worried, but I was like, my body's telling me that this is like really far along, and I was having a surge. But I heard her tell my husband, like, I think you guys should go home because this could take a long time. And you're so, she's dilated only a small amount. So Vesa was like, yeah. And I was like, in my head, like, no way. I'm not going anywhere. I can't get into that car again. Like, I'm going to die. So when my surge passed and she said, I think she said it again, and I said, we're not going anywhere. If you don't have space in this hospital, I'm going to stay in the hallway or in the parking lot. But I am not going back in that car, and I can't go back home, and I'm not going anywhere. I was like, no way. So she's like, okay, fine, you can stay, but what do you want to do? Like, and I said, well, if you have space, I can stay, and I can be in a shower and just like stay there, and you know, if things don't progress and I feel better, maybe I can go later, but right now I can't go anywhere. So she was like, okay, So she took us to another room. Oh, and before that, she asked my husband about pain. I was having a surge, and he said, we don't talk about pain, and we don't want to have any medication for pain, so we can use any other method, but we don't want to discuss pain, like, per se.
Yeah.
So he answered what he had been instructed to. That was good. Then we went to the other room, and I went into the shower, and the room was really comfortable. It had, like, a big bathroom and toilet and a shower with a little stool attached to the wall. And then there was a bed, but there was no bed for the partner. It was like this divan style, like a very short couch. So I went into the bathroom and I closed the door and I put the shower and I tried to sit on the stool, but the stool was very uncomfortable because it was kind of like hanging, you know, like flying, like a flying stool. I felt like it didn't support a pregnant lady very well. So I decided to just lie on the floor. So I threw myself on the floor and I put the shower and I just stayed there.
Mm.
And I felt so at peace. Like, I closed the door and I went into my mode.
Yep.
Like, I went into a different place.
Yes.
And I don't know what I was thinking. I wasn't thinking about anything.
That's the best.
Yeah, I was just in my Zen mode there on the floor with the door closed. And whenever they would open it, I would say, close the door. Leave me alone. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I was there. And I think around 9:30 a.m., Vesa comes in and he's like, are you still in labor? Because it doesn't sound like anything's happening. So maybe it would be good if you would come out and see, you know, if something happens. I'm like, no, I don't want to go anywhere. I'm in this, like, perfect spot right now, and I'm feeling so great, and it's great here. And it's so warm. And every time you open the door, the cool breeze comes in. And
yeah,
it was like, yeah, but I think nothing's happening. He was like, nothing's happening. And, like, maybe the shower has just slowed it down because it can happen like that sometimes. So let's just try. He was like, let's try if you come out to see what happens. And then you can go back. So he kind of convinced me to come out. So I'm like, okay, fine. So I went out. Nothing was really happening. But after a few minutes, I started to feel this feeling again that I need to go to the bathroom to like poop again. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I just had diarrhea. Like, I don't have anything in me. Like, what's going on here? You know? So So I would go to the toilet and try to poo and nothing would come out. And then I would go back to the bed and it would happen again. And I'm back to the bed. And then I would go back to the toilet and back to the bed. And then at some point I told Vesa, you know what? Call the midwife. I think I'm ready to push.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I don't think so. Cause, like, nothing has really been happening. He was like, still in his mind, like, are you sure? Cause, like, I don't think so.
And I was
like,
expecting some other sounds, but you just were so peaceful and I was just in your zone that things just happened in your body without those sounds.
Yeah, he just didn't realize that maybe you don't have to be doing these horrible grunting and, you know. So he was like, you look so chill. Like, I don't think so. And I'm like, call the midwife.
Yeah, listen to me. Listen
now.
To me.
Like, do it. So he's like, fine. So he called her and I told her what was happening. And she's like, okay, there's two options. One is that you're around 4 centimeters dilated and the baby is putting pressure in some organs and you're feeling this feeling. And the second option is that you're 10 centimeters dilated. So the only way to know is to do a check. And I said, okay, fine, do the check. I had to go to the bed and it was super uncomfortable because it was like this urge to push coming from inside of you that like if you need to go to the bathroom and you're on a bed. It was super uncomfortable. So she did the check, which was really uncomfortable. And she said, oh my God, you're 10 centimeters dilated. You're a superwoman. And I was like, when she said that, I wanted to cry. I was like, I can't believe it. Like, first she said I was 1 to 2 centimeters dilated, and I thought I was going to be here.
So how many hours did it take from that 1 to 10?
So we arrived to the hospital at 7:30, and this happened, I think, around 10:30. So around 3 hours. So, and then I got this chill, like I was so cold. I got this chill and I told her, I'm so cold. And she said, okay, we're going to put the bath now and you're going to push that baby out and it's going to be over soon and you're doing great. And it was this wonderful feeling. So she brought in the tub and it was inflatable. So they have those in Esponsairala, an inflatable bathtub.
Yeah.
Which was super comfortable because it's soft. So you can like kneel on it and you can like try any position and you and your knees don't suffer from that, and you can like sit on the sides as well. So it was really good. When she brought it in, I wasn't feeling so well, so I threw up. But after I went into the bathroom, I mean to the bathtub, it was very relaxing and I kind of like started to feel relaxed again. And and then I still felt the urge to push, but it didn't feel like anything was happening. It was like I would get the surge and I would push, but it wasn't being efficient. It was like I just had the urge, but I didn't have like my body wasn't expelling yet. So it was still, I think the bathtub came around 11 and my daughter was born at 1:30. So it still took me these 2.5 hours for the baby to descend.
Yeah,
because I was
just being 10 centimeters open doesn't mean you're ready to push.
Exactly.
This is a really, really good point to the story.
Yes. I didn't know that, even though I did my research and I, you know, I tried to figure out everything out. I didn't know that being 10 centimeters dilated doesn't mean that you can already
it means
just start pushing.
That now the baby is ready to come out of the cervix, down through the cervix into your vagina.
Yeah.
But that can also take time.
Yeah. It can take time or it can be fast, right? Because some people it can be a few minutes. But
and that's
yeah.
why the coached pushing isn't always so great, because the midwife coaches you to push by the fact that you are 10 centimeters, but you weren't ready yet to push.
Yeah, exactly. So she was like, well, what she told me was like, okay, you can do whatever you want. You can push whenever you want and, you know, be in the bathtub. And when you're ready, I'll see the head and I'll come and, you know, do the actual, like, getting the baby.
To be but, there when the baby comes out.
Yeah. So she let me kind of just hang out at the bathtub. And I was there super relaxed, just like, you know, enjoying my bath. And then I would feel a surge and I would kind of push, but I could feel that the pushes weren't real. Like it was, I knew that it wasn't, like I couldn't even feel pressure, you know, pressure.
It wasn't that yet.
Coming. Yeah. So I was like, nothing's happening here. Like what? I thought 10 centimeters dilated was like, I'm ready. She's like, no, because it was so fast that you dilated that the baby's still not like engaged. Mm-hmm. So it could take 2 hours, it could take 5 hours. I'm like, oh my God, how long am I going to be here? So we were just there in the bathtub. I was trying to kind of push a little when a surge came, but I felt like it's no point to really put everything into pushing. I could feel that it wasn't the moment to give it my all. So I was just kind of hanging out there. And at some point, she came and she said, oh, I can see the amniotic sac already. And like it was kind of bulging.
Mm-hmm.
So she said, would you like to like open it or like break it? And I said, and I had done my research and I had read that it's so much better to let it like naturally open, and you know, you can just birth it even intact. And I was like, I want everything to go naturally. I don't want to do anything. So she was like, okay, that's fine. So she just left me again, and I continued in the same, but nothing was really happening. And at some point she started to warn me that you can't be in the bathtub forever. We have to try something else at some point, because, you know, if this isn't working, maybe you need to try other positions or something else. So she was starting to like warn me that you can't be here forever. And I was starting to get a little bit nervous, because I was like, oh no, what does that mean? Like, what am I going to have to do? And where, like, what position am I going to do? And, you know, I was starting to get a little bit anxious about it. So
did she offer anything else?
She didn't offer yet. She was just kind of giving me a heads up.
Mm-hmm.
Giving me a heads up that you can't stay in the bathtub forever.
Yeah.
Just a heads up.
Well,
yeah.
It sounds such a helpful sentence. I'm sorry.
No. No, it wasn't. It was stressful. No. It was stressful for me, because
well,
I was
that's
like,
the thing. When your care provider is anxious, you become anxious as well. It's it's contagious.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, okay. So how did you move past that?
So then I was like, okay, well, I mean, I'm gonna be here as long as I can, and I was like, I still have lots of energy and I feel great. Like I can be here. I'm gonna try to prolong it as long as I can, and you know, try to listen to my body and keep on doing what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Then she came back, and at some point she was like, she asked again about the waters, and I was like, well, I don't want, like, I've read that it can cause more intense and painful surges, and I'm afraid that if I break the water, it's going to make me go crazy and horrible pain. So she was like, no, well, you're already 10 centimeters dilated, so it's not going to give you more intense and painful surges. So I was like, okay, let's do it. That might help, because she said that, you know, the water could be one reason why it was still not progressing,
not
because
ending.
It was like in the way. That's what
yeah,
she
exactly.
said. So
yes.
I was like,
yes.
Okay, let's do it. So she told me I could just break it myself with my finger, and I pinched it, and it it started leaking.
Wow.
And it came out. Yeah. So I pinched it myself. And I couldn't really feel anything because I was in the water, but I did feel
yes.
like some goo came out. And
yes.
after that, I have to say that it worked. I
yeah.
felt like my surges were doing more work. Like
yeah.
I was actually feeling like I'm pushing more and it's coming naturally from my body. So what started to happen is that I started getting cramps in my hamstrings and back pain. With each surge, I would feel back pain, cramps, and the need to push. So it was so intense, like all these three different pains and feelings at the same time. I couldn't focus on pushing. So I was like, I don't know what to do. And Vesa was like, maybe if you take like a Burana or something, like maybe that'll help with the paracetamol. Like if you take paracetamol and Burana, maybe it'll help with some of the back pain, and it'll let you focus. And, you know, so I took something, like one pill each. And I don't know if it worked or if it was psychological, but I stopped having so much of the back pain and the cramps, and I was able to push a little bit more efficiently.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, yeah, you could see the head, and she came. Then she really came next to me, and she instructed me a little bit, like, okay, I can see the head. In the next surge, we're going to push. Then you're going to breathe. So she did instruct me pretty well in that part. And then, yeah. She helped me. There was really long pauses between my surges. So my body was kind of like letting me rest between them. It felt like forever between my surges. But I guess it wasn't that long. But yeah, when it was finally the time, she came like in, I think like in three different surges, and then she just went into the water. And right before that, she told me, she's going to come out and then you're going to take her. Mm-hmm. You're going to take her from the water, and then holding her, then we will help you. So she kind of instructed me in that as well.
Yeah.
And she also gave me a mirror to see, but my position was very difficult because I was kind of I was squatting in the water, but like not a deep squat. It was like a little elevated squat.
Mm-hmm.
So the belly was kind of in the way of me seeing myself. So even though she put the mirror, I wasn't really able to like angle it in a good way to see myself. So I did kind of like look in and see, and I think I saw a little bit the head, but I was like, I can't. It's too difficult to see myself. So it was really cool. And then after that, I took the baby out of the bath, and they helped me. There was one more midwife. She came in to look at the timing of when the baby came out. And they helped me get out of the bath and took me to the bed, and then they did the rest of the like the post birth.
Hmm. What about the placenta?
Yeah, so once I was in the bed and I had the baby, the cord was pretty short, so the baby was kind of like in my belly still. And she kind of, I told her I wanted to birth naturally, but she did do some massaging to help it come out, and it came out quite quickly. I think like maybe 20 to 30 minutes after the birth. Yeah. And that was one thing I wanted to check. I wanted to see the placenta and make sure that that it was like complete and that it didn't look like any pieces were left inside of me, just because I had read that some people had some pieces inside, and I felt like, okay, I don't want that happening to me.
Yes, yes.
But it was really interesting to see the placenta. It was so beautiful. I think it's not beautiful to see someone else's placenta, but it's so beautiful to see the one that you've created.
Mm-hmm. Nurtured your baby.
Yeah. So that was a really nice experience.
Oh my gosh. I love this story.
Yeah, I love it too.
This is so remarkable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is back to the question. So this is why I feel like for me, this birth experience taught me so much about myself and about like just basically everything. As long as you do your research, find out what you want, find out what you would like, you can achieve a lot of things. It's all about like trying to prepare as much as you can and trying to do as much as you can before the event or before. Like you can accomplish anything that you want. I felt super empowered, super happy. I was like on a high about this experience. I think it lasted me like 6 months. I swear. Like I wanted to have another baby.
I'm there
baby.
With you.
I wanted
I totally
to have
know what you're
labor.
Talking about.
Yeah, I was like, I wanted to talk about it. I wanted to read about it. I wanted to hear everybody's story. I felt so, so happy and so empowered. And I mean, even now remembering it and talking about it, I love the whole experience. So that's my story. And that's why I feel like it's so beautiful to share these. And even if things don't go perfectly exactly how you planned and hoped, they're all beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, this has been kind of the motivation to do the birth stories so people can hear what can it be like to give birth in the hospitals that are here in Finland.
Yeah.
I think it's really valuable. And thank you for sharing this story as well.
Mm. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I think we'll end here on this note. But maybe we'll have you on for another episode to talk about the second labor and, you know, connecting those two. But because I feel like there's a lot of wisdom in that as well. But I think for yeah. today, we can end it here. And just to say thank you again, it was really, really powerful and beautiful, and all the preparation you did and the story you had to share, that was truly valuable.
Thank you so much for having me and for hearing my story, and I hope it will bring some inspiration and positive vibes for many, many pregnant women out there.
Yes. Yes. All right. See you soon.
See you. Bye.
Do you have the feeling that you need more support as you enter a time of transition in your life? Are you perhaps facing a rite of passage, such as the birth of your baby? I'm inviting you to join me and my colleague Tori on a webinar all about rites of passage and times of transition. This one is for you if you want to learn more on the importance of respecting rites of passage, learn how to connect with the cyclical nature of our body and use its power to guide you. You will learn how to trust the cycles to guide you through the dark times of transition, learning and knowing, trusting that there is also a rebirth. We will also guide you to see rites of passage and times of transition as an opportunity for growth and expansion. This webinar is for anybody who is facing a rite of passage or transition, has just experienced one, is supporting someone through transition, or has had challenging transitions in the past and would love to change that pattern going forward. If this speaks to you, I invite you to join me on March the 30th at 7 p.m. local Finnish time. You can save your seat right now with the link in the show notes of this episode.
Thank you for tuning in to the Birthing in Finland podcast. To get the show notes for this episode, go to doulacollective.fi/birthing in Finland. If you enjoyed the episode, go ahead and share this with someone who you think needs to hear it. A friend, a colleague, a neighbor. Help us get the word out so that more families can start enjoying these conversations. See you next time when I introduce you to another amazing person supporting families just like yours. Thank you.